Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
In the Word of God, Jehoshaphat showed us in this text, and there's a lot of things, a few more that I'll get a chance to mention to you today. The Bible starts by, in chapter 20, it starts talking about that there was a group of people that the Moabites and Ammonites that we said were the descendants of Lot, that came against Jehoshaphat to destroy him. And we know, based on what you read in chapter 19 and chapter 18, they knew that Jehoshaphat was someone that he really didn't demonstrate a total commitment and was not totally sold out to serving God. It was okay for him in his mind to serve other gods as well as serving God. And you'll also see that unfold in this text. What Jehoshaphat did mostly in his life, there's a god Asheroth that's mentioned in the text. If you read through 19, it talks about Asheroth and also the god Balaam that they worshiped. As well, that they served and they tolerated and welcomed this, because these were gods that were served in the land that they that God gave them to occupy. And what they did was they served the other gods, but when they got into trouble, they turned to the only God that could get them out. Amen. Can somebody say, look at your neighbor, just tell them the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. I mean, this was it. And he was a person that really God, when you look at the text, what you'll find is that this is the man that called on God to come and to help him. He had just finished part of his regimen, his daily routine, just finished giving time and lavishing, commitment and accolades upon a God that couldn't help him. But when he got in trouble, you will see what he even knew about the God of the Bible. It wasn't that he didn't really know God. And you'll see this detailed in the text. But the interesting thing about that is there were people that knew that there were some challenges in the life of this individual. Matter of fact, that's the reason, if you read the background, it's the reason why they came against him. They came against him because they said, we know he's not where he should be in God. So in his weak point, this is our moment to take him down, is what they said. So they endeavored to do that. The descendants of Lot, Ammonites, Moabites, and then the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they came against Jehoshaphat. And in the word is declared, the Bible said that Jehoshaphat feared when he heard that they were coming against him. And he set himself to seek the Lord. He committed his heart to saying, listen, to turning back to God. And in Judah, the Bible says, gathered themselves together in verse 4 to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. He told them, we have an emergency. He said, now that we've been playing around, serving other gods who couldn't help us, now that we have a real issue, he said, it's time for us to get religious. Let's call on the God that can really help us. Matter of fact, if you read, I think in chapter 16, you'll find his dad, the Bible said he got sick around verse 20 or something like that. Said he got sick. He had problems with his feet. And he said he sought physicians and he didn't seek God. And then the very next verse, it said, and he was laid out with his fathers. That means he didn't seek God in one verse, and he was buried in the next verse. Tell your neighbor, it's a good idea to seek God. Amen. Now we know doctors are invaluable. But you're not to seek the doctor above God. Amen. And this is borne out in chapter 16. So the deal is that he was someone that didn't have a complete confidence in the God of the Bible. But this is an illustration of a situation here where now that problems are looming large on the horizon, he perhaps could feel the thunderous roar of the hoof beats that rumble across the desert roads on their way to the land that he said, God, you gave to us. And they've concocted a plan to come take from us what you gave to us. And I know you're not going to stand for that. And so he's calling on God. The Bible said he set himself to seek the Lord. And in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood, it said, in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, this is when he starts telling us about what he knew about the God that he had not served faithfully. Amen. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation before the new court. In verse 6, he says, and he said, O Lord. He says, art not thou God in heaven? He said, you rule in heaven. Now, if you know all this, Jehoshaphat, or let me move on. He said, you rule over, he said, and ruleth not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? He said, not only are you ruler in heaven over the righteous, but you're the ruler on earth over the heathen. So you rule in heaven and in earth. And if I ask your neighbor this, what was his problem? What was his problem? Would you just ask him? I mean, to know this. I mean, or what? Listen, the deal is, these were the words of his prayer. We might have been able to peer in on a conversation he's now having with God. Y'all ever heard anyone that knew the words of prayer, but maybe not knew the worth of prayer? Let's look at his prayer again. He's saying, God, you a bad God. You rule up high and down low. That's you, God. You just that God. You rule over all the kingdoms. And listen, and in your hand, he says, is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand you? He said, there's nothing that can stand against you. Amen. Now that's a pretty prayer right there, y'all. Now, that'll work. That will. Won't you know that'll turn God's heart, won't it? You know the words, you those flowery in it. But it's not just in the degree of articulation. Paul said, I didn't come to you in excellency of speech. Now, that's not how he came. So put that verse back on screen. Let's go to the next one. Here he said, none is able to withstand you. Verse 7 says, art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and you the God that gave it to the seed of Abraham. And Abraham was your friend and is your friend forever. God, you know Abraham, don't you remember him? Your boy, your friend. Yeah, that's it. He's name dropping in the prayer call. But he knows God. Amen. So now this is what he knows, why he's serving Asherah and serving Balaam. God, I'm in land that you gave me, doing stuff that you don't want me to do. Amen. And I can pray about it too. Put the next verse up there. It says, and listen, and they dwelt in the land that you gave them. And they built a sanctuary in your name, saying, verse number 9, listen, if when evil come upon us, when the storm come, my God, it says, listen, as the sword, judgment of pestilence, anything that come against us, you don't want to try this at home. Now, isn't that a powerful model, though, of how many people that y'all know? I'm not talking about anybody in this room. I mean, just the people you know. You probably had lunch with people that live like this. last week. Listen, when Eva come, when the enemy come with a sword. Amen. You know, I just finished gambling my money away, but God, my house payment is due now. Lord, I need you. Like I never needed you before. It says when evil come, when enemies come. It says when pestilence come, when judgment come, when famine come. We stand before this house. My God. And in your presence, for your name is in this house. And God, we cry unto you in our affliction. Don't say nothing about what we do when our affliction is not present. But in affliction, God, we cry. Why can't, see tomorrow night, 6:30. Tell your neighbor, that's prayer time. We gather. Come look at your neighbor and tell him, we ain't got to come here for prayer. We ain't got to come here. Tell your neighbor that. Tell him. I'm setting you up good. Go ahead, tell him. Tell him we ain't got to come here for prayer. I dare you, tell him. Go ahead and tell him. Go
ahead. Lord, I must.
I was just going to say, we'll see you on the prayer line then at 9 o'clock, 24 hours a day. But he said, when affliction come, we cry unto you. And he said, then you not only will you hear us, but God, we need your help too. Say, we want you to do everything God's supposed to do. We don't care what we've been doing. Now look, when I call on you in my affliction, show up. See, that's what we call a cosmic bellhop. When I need you, God, I need you. And I get attitude if you ain't gonna move. Now look, you God, your word said your mercies are new every day. And I don't need, as Deacon Stewart said, no recycled mercy. I need some new stuff. Right now, I need it. It's what he declared. Put that verse on, put the next verse. I got it. He says, and listen, and now behold, the children of Ammon, now our enemies are coming. It says, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, it says, whom you would not let Israel invade. It says, when they came out of the land of Egypt, it said, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Let the enemies live. In verse 11 is what he said. Now he's moving through the text. He says, behold, I say how they reward us. Now, this is their payback for letting them live. This is how they pay us back. You let them live, and what they are doing now is trying to take from us what you gave to us. And you know you want to hurt them. They are so ungrateful. All you did for them. Look at them people, Lord. Ungrateful heathens. You gave them life, and here they are now, acting like they don't appreciate what you gave me, trying to take my stuff that you gave to me, is what he said. You gave it to us to inherit through your friend, you know, your friend, Abraham, is where it came from. Lord, I need to have you remember that. Amen. Y'all heard people praying like that. Verse 12, real quick. We got to. He says, oh, our God, listen, will you not judge them? That's that imprecatory prayer. Sick them. Get them. He said, listen, for we ain't got no might against them. Matter of fact, that's the only reason I'm talking to you right now, because, you know, my sword is not big enough to whack them. If they were, I wouldn't even be talking to you. Because I got this. Listen, when I got a job, I ain't, what? Call on you for what? Come to church for what? I got a job. My health is good. What? Come by the church? Child, no, I'm jogging at 12. I'm in the gym at 12:45. And I'm getting my health drink together for the game at 3 o'clock. Got no time for the church. It says, for we have no might against this company that cometh against us. Neither know we, it says, what we should do. But our eyes are upon you. Say, when we don't know what to do, then our eyes are on you. But when I know, when my intellect is sufficient, I don't need to look at you. But when I don't know what to do, my intellect has failed. Then I turn to you. When I've called that friend that I count on for that extra 100 when I run short, and they won't return my phone call, then I turn to you. When I've used up all those payment holidays for my car loan, then I call on you. Put that verse back on the screen. And he said, and all Judah stood before him. Listen, with the children, everybody's getting religious now. And he's bringing the children there too. But it's a good thing, though, whenever you're praying, when you're seeking the Lord, you ought to encourage the whole house. Seek the Lord. We said last week, everything goes on a fast. And then the Lord, the Bible said, he anointed one of the Levites, just an ordinary sort of run-of-the-mill individual. Now, his entire resume is listed there in the text. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation and spoke to him and declared a word for the life of those individuals. And he says it to us in verse 15. He says, now listen to what the Lord is saying. He said, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judea and Judah, he says, listen, is what he declared. And he said to the king, King, listen, lean in this direction while the Lord speaks to us. And he said, this is what the Lord says. And you note that in this text, it says, the Lord said, these are the prophets that are speaking to the people of God, declaring what God has released into the life of people who didn't in their actions deserve to hear from God. But God said, listen, I'm God. And he says, listen, he told us in Romans 5, in verse 6, he says, while you were yet sinners, he says, in due season, he says, I died for the ungodly. Say, you didn't earn this. You don't even deserve it. But watch me do it anyhow. He told this people, see, that's why you know that, listen, the enemy can convince us. And if you study, in chapter 17, 18, 19, you'll find the Lord said, don't you know that I'm with those that have a perfect heart toward me? Now, the interesting thing about that, I don't want you to try this at home, but he says just so that those that are super and hyper religious, he said, listen, my hand is with those whose heart is perfect toward me. That means when I love God, there may be some stuff you get involved in. Amen. Just because you may not know any better, or just because you had a moment where, listen, your guard was dropped. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God, that's why the Lord called David a man after God's own heart. It's not that David did everything perfect. Y'all know the scripture. You know that David was not the one. But the Lord said that this in David is a man after my heart. Why? Because David's heart was perfect towards God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he was repentant in his heart. When the stuff came, David was able to say, listen, I'm sorry, put the verse back up there real quick. And what he said to them was this. He says, listen, thus saith the Lord. Now, this text says the prophet is declaring it. Read in the New Testament, you hear the Lord declaring the words that only the Lord can. He doesn't have to say, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because he is the Lord. Behold, I'm the Lord. I'm the God of all flesh. It says, the prophet says, the Lord is about to speak. In the Gospels, when the Lord walked the earth, when he got ready, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. He told us when your enemies come against you, huh, to eat up your flesh. David declared, he said, they stumbled and they fell. Listen, but God will speak to the people and declare his work over your life. He'll speak a word in you that the devil cannot override. Yeah. Can somebody just raise your hand and shout, I know I got the victory. And then he said, this is what the Lord is telling us. Listen, I know you haven't crossed every T or dotted every I, but be not afraid nor dismayed. Huh? He says, by reason of this great multitude, he said, for the battle ain't even yours. He says, the battle belongs to God. God said, listen, he called you out. Listen, he said, and what I have started in Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in us, he said, I'm able to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, he told us, saints of God, what I started in you, I've got the power to complete it. And what we do often is disqualify ourselves. Everybody in this room has got something to come to the altar for. Amen. That's why we shouldn't let this be such a dead time in the service of God. When you see God being that faithful, ask your neighbor, can you be just as faithful to God as he is to you? Now see, stuff like that just ministers to my heart. When I see God moving in a situation where it was not, it had nothing to do with Jehoshaphat's righteousness, but it had everything to do with God's righteousness. God said, I'm committed to you. God said, I love you with an everlasting love. He said that, listen, behold, I am your God and you are my people. He said, you're the apple of my eye. That's what God said. The Bible said his promises are yea and amen. This is not a message that says you can do whatever you want to, but it should be a message that declares, I'm going to change, listen, my attitude towards seeking the Lord from now on. I'm going to be someone that not only, listen, will I, listen, declare that I need God, but I want my life to be so ordered, listen, that God can use me as well, that God can find pleasure in my life. If he's that faithful to me, amen, I dare not prove to be less faithful to him. Amen. Put the verse back on the screen. He says, put the next verse up. He says, the battle doesn't belong to you. And what they show us as you move on is, he says, tomorrow, go down against them. He says, they came up by the cliff of Ziz. And he said, you'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. He said, listen, you're going to go up to Ziz, peer over, listen, the hill down into the valley. And you're going to see my work down in the valley. Glory to God. But then it also says, when you read, when it talks about when you get to the edge of the wilderness. Yeah. Ziz was the edge of the wilderness, but it was where the lighthouse stood. Yeah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Listen, the lighthouse was on the edge of the wilderness. And the Bible said that Jesus is, listen, that lighthouse. He's the one that provides, listen, the hope for us in the midst of a land that seemed to be, listen, deserted. When you're in a place where it seems like nothing is coming together, the Lord said, I'm going to be your light. He said, I'm going to elevate you to a place. He said, when you get to the edge of your wilderness, huh? And what's in front of you is the wilderness. But what he showed them, listen to what he said. He said, set yourself. He said, you're not going to need to fight this battle. But he said, but position yourself. Tell your neighbor, you're not going to have to fight this one. But tell him, but your posture is important. Listen, that's why the title is Praise is Our Weapon. That's because the Lord is declaring that, listen, in this battle, he said, I want your posture to be one of praise and recognizing that I am a God that never leaves you. The Bible said his promises are yea and amen. The Bible said he is faithful that promised. Anybody here know that you have a promise from God and you believe in your spirit that God is faithful as he promised? Touch your neighbor and tell him when God says he'll do it. Tell him I found him to be a God of his word. Anybody ever been sick and the Lord healed and delivered your body? Anybody ever been in a financial tight and you thought you were going down for the last time, but the Lord delivered you? Touch your neighbor and tell him, I tried him and I know him. Some of us may be in a financial tight right now. The devil's trying to convince you that, listen, because you did this or did that, that God has turned his back on you. I dare you, tap somebody on the shoulder and tell them the devil is a liar. Glory to God. Because if God be for me, he's more than all the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put the verse back on the screen again. Listen, listen, let me close for that. He says, set yourself. He's telling us, y'all, this is the time for posture, the time for a right position. You got to stand in the place that God has destined for your life. He said, and listen, stand still. He says, listen, there's no need for you to fight. Huh? Tell your neighbor, no need to run right now. No need to run. No need to run. No need to run. Tell your neighbor, no need to run right now. I ain't running from the devil. I'm not running from the enemy. I'm not running from a fight. Glory to God. Why? Because God has already fought this battle. He said, I'm getting ready to show you that is done as well. He said, no need to fight this one. But he said, just set yourself. My God, just set yourself. You know, it's something when you set yourself in prayer. Set yourself in confidence that he's God all by himself. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready to set myself in God. Hallelujah. I know the numbers are against me. But touch your neighbor and tell them, but I know that God is for me. So I'm going to set myself in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm not running in the wilderness. I'm going to stand there on God. Can somebody tell God yes? Listen to what he said. Listen. He says, stand still. Glory to God. Sometimes our mind is racing. Sometimes we want to just get something done. Sometimes we want to see ourselves execute on the matter that's in front of us. But sometimes the Lord said, just stand still. Touch your neighbor and tell him, just steal yourself through this. Just steal yourself. My God, listen. He said, and when you stand still, and this is when he told them to position themselves. Take your seat, say, we got to, just a couple minutes, we're going to get out of here. Our time is out. Y'all are handling me just like the 8 o'clock service. I declare, 10 minutes to 10, they just all stood up. What up? I appreciate that because we need to get out of there 10 minutes till. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord is with you. He said, see that God's faithfulness is with you. Because see, when you get nervous, you're acting like God is not a God of his word. Touch your neighbor and tell him, just be still. Just be still. Tell him, listen, I know God is with you. Tell him, well, I've been through a little something myself. And God did not leave me. Tell him, don't get nervous right through here. Tell him, God said, stand still and see the salvation. Salvation, a word that means I'm going to bring you out of it. I'm going to make you whole. I will deliver you. I will perfect you. I will complete you. I'll perfect that which concerneth you. The Lord said, I am a faithful God. Touch your neighbor and tell him God is working on your case. Come on, celebrate God in this place.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.